Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Here. Let me close my window.
And with that intro, thank you, Scotty. We are live and back on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Two, maybe 3 weeks removed from our last episode. We pledge ourselves to be a pod that has a lot of curses around it. Every time we end a pod, breaking news happens pretty much 5 minutes after we record. And I guess you could say we caused the coronavirus, Jeff, because pretty much ever since we recorded last, things have changed in the NFL landscape, in the world landscape. So lots have changed. We have, including, speaking of changes, I mean, this is a first after 111, 112 episodes of this podcast, Jeff. We are using a new recording client, and we're going to see if there's any bumps along the road for this, because this is new territory for us, uncharted territory, and we're just adjusting to the way the world is moving. So hopefully this goes off without a hitch. Crystal clear so far on my part, Jeff. How does it sound for me?
It sounds wonderful, Will. I'm excited to be here despite, like you said, everything that's going on in the world, the curse of the pod, but we are back. We are ready. We're here for the listeners. Like you said, we're trying a new client for the old pod, but I just want to give a shout out to our pod. We've been doing, you know, people are saying, oh, they're in their bunkers, you know, like, oh no, we have to be distant. We can't be in a professional recording studio. That's how we've been doing it since day one. Some will gawk at the audio quality. Some will say, wow, you guys talk over each other too much, or you interrupt each other, and it's just unprofessional. But we've been doing it without being face-to-face. We've been across the country, so welcome to our world, 90% of the podcast universe.
Yeah, I mean, we've recorded one in person, the Greg Vegas pod. I believe that was a live in-person pod where there was about 10 minutes of Muffin talking about Kurt snoring or whatever. That was our only in-person pod, I believe. And you're right. Welcome to our world. Get used to it. All right. Get used to the lag. Get used to the hitches. Get used to the delayed responses and cutting people off and saying, oh, I'm sorry, Will. By the way, we do have someone on the line, but I'm going to get to him in 1 second. He can wait 5 more seconds. Jeff, and maybe Scott can comment on this. I believe you sound a little more, I don't want to say crystal clear, but Jeff, you definitely have a different panache to your voice. Is there a reason for that?
I have no idea what you're referring to, but thank you, I guess.
Scott, let's get, do you hear anything different with Jeff's voice, or is it just the client?
Well, typically what would happen when I would listen to the podcast in my car,
here we go.
Jeff would cut out every like three or four words for like a word or two, so seems a little better now.
This is not true. I listen back to the pod. I edit the pod. Jeff, you've listened to yourself. Yes, there are times when he would cut out because Skype maybe not the greatest of connections. Sorry, Skype, didn't mean to shout you out there. But yes, every once in a while. But I don't think it's as bad as you were saying it. Jeff, do you think it has always been as bad as Scott is saying it?
There have definitely been times based on, you know, the internet quality at the time, I would say, would be the biggest driver of some lag. That's pretty much what it is. It's just Skype trying to catch up with the conversation, and there's little bumps and trips, but like, it's not every time I open my mouth. It's just every once in a while, you know. And happy to be here with what are we using today, Will? Zencaster, the newest unofficial official client of the pod. No ill will towards Skype, our former unofficial official client. Maybe we'll go back, we'll see how this goes, but so far crystal clear, and all things considered, excited to be talking to you gentlemen. Mostly just you, Will.
I'm thinking about just resting it on my belly to make sure this doesn't move any much more. Because right now, this is the longest we've gone so far without any interruptions.
I could rest it on my quarantine belly, that's for sure, dude. I'm packing on the LPs.
What a great kind of transition there. That's a segue. That's why they call him the best in the biz. Scott over there, special guest today. I mean, we can just dive into certain different topics here, whether it's video games, corona quarantine, movies, so much stuff we can get into. And this is one of my favorite things is the video game experiences going on right now. So Fortnite, I've kind of re-dove back in, as I do every couple of years, as it's been out for so long. But now the wife is hooked. She's got the bug, as Scott would say. She has started playing. She's created her own gamer tag. We have done duos, and it's kind of fun because I get matched up with lower level people, as Scott, you've mentioned before, which is how we've kind of won every once in a while. Anything you guys have noticed, not just Fortnite, but I know, Jeff, you have a kind of relatable one with Shay. And I think this just kind of goes to show people are in our world now, right? Where everyone has nothing to do. And what do? They're resorting to the video games. Jeff, give me some comments on your personal experiences with Shay and how she's kind of made this a little bit of her life.
Yeah, so we've been playing Rocket League, which Shay once referred to as a stupid game for kids.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
For those listeners out there who don't know, Rocket League is a soccer-based game where you use RC cars to play small-sided soccer games. And then it's kind of a big ball, and you jump around, and there's physics, and it's extremely fun, easy to catch on. Shay, who doesn't have a ton of experience in the video game world, instantly hooked up. But it's been one of those things where normally we finish dinner, put Kellen down, and we're like, okay, let's start hitting up some Netflix. And I don't know about you guys, but the Netflix recently, they need to step up their game, get those shows getting out there much faster. And so she's like, Rocket League. And I was like, whoa, okay. Whoa. So right now she enjoys it the most. She does it for the camaraderie mostly, and Scotty's been there. Scotty's been an absolute champ. I'll throw him some props. Has the patience of a legend playing competitive with Shay, who doesn't use the ball follow cam, so it can be not only hard to watch, but hard to be a teammate of, because it's hard to locate that ball if you're not on the ball cam. But related to Rocket League, so bottom line is Shay's been having an amazing time on Rocket League. It's become kind of a bonding experience in this quarantine.
Oh, wow.
A married couple, much like it sounds like Fortnite has for you. So love that. Big shout out to Rocket League. But Rocket League related, there was a showdown, and I hesitate to even call it a showdown. Nice. I put it in quotations. Maybe I'll throw it to Scotty.
Yeah.
You were there for the entire time. What kind of transpired? Who was in the showdown? What happened, and who was Jesus?
Okay, so we in our like immediate friend group, our buddy Brandon, who's always been Shongers and Bongers for all you guys, mm-hmm. But he's always been like one of the better Rocket League players, and like in our friend group, and like this was back in the day when we kind of played it a lot. We kind of stopped playing it because we kind of moved to Fortnite for a little bit, but we're slowly getting back into it. So we know that one of our buddies also, he streams on Twitch, and he also plays Rocket League. So when Brandon found this out, they're like, oh, let's try to get a match going, because Brandon thought that he would be able to beat our friend.
I believe the words, "Will, I will stomp him out." I believe that's what he said.
Wow.
I don't know verbatim what was said, but along those lines, yes. So Brandon was doing a little bit of his research, watching some clips of our buddy, Mike, and he was saying, oh, okay, I can take this guy. And then so we set the matchup for 10 p.m. last Saturday, and everyone was in
10 p.m. Pacific. Can we please?
Yes, so 1 a.m. Will's time, and everyone was in chat watching it all happen, and game one, I believe, was, I don't know, was it like
9-1
to Mike, and after that it didn't really get any better. I would say, I mean, really didn't really get much worse, but they played best of seven, and it was a clean 4-0 sweep. So
I honestly thought Chong was like baiting him, or like trying to like Rocket League shark him or something, and like just get destroyed the first game, and then maybe like throw money on the line for the next games and then win. But no, it was a comprehensive victory. We love you, Chong. Happy to throw down on the sticks whenever. Still need to have you on the pod, but it was decisive. I want to hit that last point, though, Scotty. There's a lot of speculation. Who was Jesus?
There's a lot of stuff being thrown out. Some people say it was Armas. Some people say it was Kurt. Some people say it was me. All I will say is we'll leave it up to the gods.
Are we going to break news on here that it was you, Scott? Because the fact that people think it's Armas, don't. There's no way it was Armas. There's zero chance in this world it was Armas. Guy has an iPhone 3, let alone Discord.
No, actually, knows how to edit stuff.
There's no way he knows anything about any of this stuff. Like, even I was struggling to get on Discord. I've since deleted that app. So he's already out. Kurt's got a decent chance of being him. But you, Scott, I mean, I'm all in on it being you.
If you had to pick odds, what would you say Vegas odds are between me and Kurt?
Honestly,
I mean,
50-50.
Okay.
Ooh. Kurt was oddly silent during all this, so his whereabouts were unknown in my eyes. I don't know if he had previously made any statements about what he would be doing during this time, or if he had showed up in any of the chats. But if I were a betting man, I'd say Scott was probably minus. I'd say Scott's minus 190, and Kurt is plus 150.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that.
That's right.
I always felt like Donahue and Kurt had like a little feud, and some of the expletive laden comments
it that definitely were got
presented in the chat related to Eric Donahue lead me to believe it was Kurt. So, but Scott's not denying it.
Know, so right, Scott?
I mean,
we'll never know.
Well, some people, I will say that one person out of these three in this current podcast, no. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, let's call a spade here. So, this is very inside groupy for the nine people who listen to this. There was outside accounts being made to troll the two participants and outside members of the friends of this group. And they were being trolled and getting very personal, very personally attacked. And the whereabouts of these said accounts are unknown. As far as myself and Jeff are concerned.
What I will say, though, is that Mike, our buddy who streams on Twitch, he actually has, like, some people that, like, consistently watch him. And there was people, like, in his chat. And so I'm kind of surprised, like, or wondering, like, what they were thinking about the whole situation that was going on. Because the chat was just flooded with, like, inside jokes, basically. And like, every so often you get the one-off person going, like, get him, Mike, or show him what's up. But all this stuff.
Show how it's done, Mike.
Yeah, that was just kind of funny. Because we were all just being super trolly. And then like all these guys were like taking it super serious. It was kind of funny.
One more thing. It was 1 a.m. my time. I was exhausted. And I was very disappointed in the amount of viewers in Mike's, you know, for him, whatever he does with his life. I think there was like 9 viewers when I signed on. And I imagine 7 of those were us.
Yeah, it wasn't a good showing from the amazing VG clan. Yeah, quote of the entire showdown though, I think was Shay was like, "This is exactly why Mike is single right now." How he was like,
"Oh wow,
not because of the video games, not because of the video games at all, but because he was like." Cursing at people, like, I don't know how to follow anyone on Twitch. I don't use Twitch. And he was like, everyone is in the chat not following. And I was so excited. That is exactly why you're single. It was like kind of very Jabba the Hutty. So.
Oh, wow. Moving on. I have to say, I've been back in the hearth grind. By the way, how do you guys say it? Hearthstone or Hearthstone? How do you guys say it?
I say Hearthstone.
I just say hearth.
That's true. I usually say the whole thing. I usually just say hearth.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm back on that grind. I'm not texting updates like Scotty, but yes, I am level 23 now. So just letting you guys know, rank 23. It's very confusing. I mean, the tutorial for Battlegrounds did absolutely nothing for me. I've probably played it about 12 to 15 times now, and every single time I'm still, I'm just a little bit more into it than I was before, but it just takes a really long time to get in that. And then the amount of cards, the amount of just new elements to gameplay, while I'm still rocking my, Murloc decks, my Murloc Rush decks from, 2 years ago, it's been a difficult transition for me. Scott, how has the transition been for you?
So, when it comes to Battlegrounds, Jeff is much more the ace on that than I am. I barely play Battlegrounds, and when I do, I also get destroyed pretty much like you because I have no idea what's happening half the time. As far as regular ladder goes, like regular constructed decks, what I do like about Hearthstone is that like every so often they'll retire certain card packs, so like you can't use a certain amount of like these certain cards anymore, which is cool because it kind of always changes it up and keeps it fresh. So it's just trying to understand like what works well now. Obviously, what worked well for you when you were last played, it won't work for you now because they've probably retired a lot of those cards. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, right now I think I'm rank 8, I think, or close to rank 7. So I'm trying to get there. I've never gotten to the top tier ever playing this game. I've been close a couple times, but with all this downtime now, it's like almost like I try to want to make a final push because that was always one of my gaming goals, I guess, to get legendary in that game, but never happened. So we'll see if it happens now.
Jeff, what can you give me a layman's 1 minute rundown of how to succeed at Battlegrounds? Because you've notoriously said you've won 6, 7, 8 in a row. I've yet to finish higher than 5th.
I have 52 first place victories and 250 top 4 finishes. So essentially, Battlegrounds is the same gameplay of Hearthstone, a lot of the same strategies. Just without the deck construction piece of it, which in early Hearthstone I felt like was the stupidest part because a lot of the really good decks or strategies, right, that you had to come up with either took an impossibly long time to gather the gold to do it, or you had to spend money to get the right kind of right cards, essentially. So Battlegrounds kind of eliminates that. You get the same gameplay, and there's probably like 10 to 15 different strategies. And the part I like about it is that it's a lot of it is random in the cards that you're presented. So you can think that you're going down one strategy and then have to course correct and balance different parts of it. So I think it's fun. At the same time, it's definitely not as, there's definitely a limited number of options. Whereas Hearthstone, like the deck construction, there's infinite options. Whereas Battlegrounds, it's like once you know the 10 different strategies, you can kind of navigate in between them. That being said, sometimes it's just the luck of the cards. But I view Battlegrounds more along the lines of a Candy Crush equivalent, where I don't have to do any like outside research. I just pop in, I do it. I don't have to read like Hearthstone blogs about face hunter equivalent decks to build and then go into a collection with 800 cards and disenchant for dust. And it's that wasn't my flow in the beginning. I mean, I did love the OG decks and strategies, but there's just so many cards, to your point, it's hard for me to imagine diving back into that. So I'm happy to give a tutorial. Maybe we can do a Twitch of me playing Battlegrounds.
Get more than 9 viewers.
I'm not promising that. Not promising that. But we'll see what we can do.
Also, to touch one more thing too, is that like with like Rocket League and Hearthstone, like they were, I think, some of like the first like free to play games that I played, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Which was nice because like you always like don't want to buy a game and have it end up like sucking or running out of content after a while. Like, why did I pay $60 for this? But so I think also to Jeff's point though too is that once Hearthstone became that way where like all these like really good decks cost a lot of like actual money to make, that a lot of casual players fell off. And then so I think they saw the success of like other free to play games, like let's say Fortnite, that was like massive, right? It was free to play. That they're like, okay, let's make like a more elaborate like free to play version of it with like Battlegrounds, and that drew a lot more people back to it. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the barrier to entry was always easy. So that's why I think Battlegrounds, to your point, Jeff, does make it a lot more, hop in, get your butt kicked, hop out, and not worry about it. So I'll have to keep getting my Battlegrounds on. One last thing, Jeff, to get a check-in from the front lines of the Shack. Looks like you're curious on that. Today was probably was the slowest day I've ever worked at the Shack. Today started our very first shelter-in-place day in our county due to COVID-19, and we felt it. We had one order of about 40 burgers, and if that order did not come in, we probably made another total 20 burgers combined in about 4 hours.
Wow. So with that, are they just cutting staff? Like, are you guys still fully staffed?
We have done an amazing job at keeping people working, just doing takeout and everything like that. I'm actually really applauding Shake Shack and our area directors and all that. But it has gotten to the point now where it's get ready to tell them not to come in at some point, and it'll be just managers running it because we just can't. We're losing so much money that we just can't. Well, let me rephrase that because this is a public podcast. We are not earning money. We are not in the positive right now, but we're doing a really good job of making sure, our team members are getting their money's worth. And we tell them every shift, we say, hey, take advantage of these hours. Like, don't not show up, because that's going to be really not beneficial to you since you might not even have a job next week.
Yeah.
So the front lines of the Shack, no lines.
No lines.
There you go. That's it. What's the Holy Frozen 2 talk before we actually get into some girth?
No, I know we were talking about Netflix earlier. At least I was babbling about it. Frozen 2, Disney Plus made a smart move. Once kind of the major cities started their shelter in places, Disney Plus originally was going to release Frozen 2 in June. I think they did something where on Friday they said Frozen 2 coming now in April. And then the next day they're like, just kidding, it's already there. Go start watching it. And let me tell you, Kellen is obsessed, so I'm not exaggerating. I've probably watched it 25 times.
No way.
Yes. Two to three times a day.
It was huge, news, for Disney Plus, because they weren't planning on releasing it, I think, until, July, something like that?
Yeah, July, August. You're not listening to the last 10 seconds where Jeff said it was coming out in June?
That's what it was. Right. But I wonder what their numbers were that weekend on Frozen 2. Because, it was, you alone, you said, they're three times that first day, probably. I wonder what it was like for the entire weekend for them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He
asked for it by name. He points and he says Frozen. And he says Elsa. And so,
wow.
Got to give the man what he wants. His lady's
not even
there.
A Frozen 1, huh? I think...
Oh, we get it because it just pops up. It says watch Frozen 1, and then he says yes. And then so,
these companies are being smart. The movie companies were releasing, the movies that came out in theaters. What, The Invisible Man was out a week later. And then Onward, the Pixar movie, is going to be out next week, which will be great to watch.
With the movie industry, though, do you think there's going to be, a weird lull in, new movies coming out because, no one can film right
there
now?
There is. Yeah, they already pushed back a whole bunch of movies. Mulan was supposed to come out tomorrow.
So, I'm just thinking of the new movies that, were in production, right? The ones that, completely stopped.
Yeah.
They're gonna take a long time. I wonder, once the bank of movies have come out that they're banking right now, is there going to be, a weird, couple months?
No new movies. I think another one is Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was supposed to come out, I believe, in May. Already pushed that back to at least June.
007 was supposed to come out too. And they have a huge market in China, so they just okay, well, China's locked down, no one's going to the movie theater, so we're just going to not release this because we'll lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these companies are making their decisions based on, obviously if they can even show their movies, since theaters for the most part are shut down, since they are gatherings of more than, 50 people, 10 people, whatever. So it could be a month where we don't see a new movie coming out, or they'll just all release on demand and you'll pay $20, which people think is expensive, but technically it's a bargain if there's at least two of you in the house. watching these new releases.
I think that's a good price point, because like if you go, what, it's like $14 now, right, to see a movie like in theaters.
Depends if you're getting the premium experience.
Yeah, and then like, and then you get to drive there. You have to, if you buy a couple snacks, you're looking at like $30 easy, $40.
I know. So they're making the right choice there. A lot of people are adjusting, and like Jeff even mentioned, the very very beginning is, you know, some people like myself and Jeff have been doing certain things a certain way for a while, and now everyone else is kind of getting used to the way. A different way of life, whether it's digitally, you know, far away or whatever. So the next couple weeks, months are going to be very interesting. And will things go back to normal? Will there be a lot more people working from home? You know, will movies be in the theaters only for 2 weeks and then just release digitally? Who knows how this is going to impact the world? Good old COVID-19.
My mom, she's working from home now, obviously, and she thought she was going to get no work done at home, and like she wouldn't be able to work very well at home, but now she loves it, and she hopes to not have to go back to the office ever. She wants to work from home forever now.
That's what I'm saying. Who knows? Who knows if stuff will change? Scott, we are going to move on to the girthy moments of the pod. If you want to stick around and put it on mute and then just do a little ho-ho-ho if you hear something you like, then by all means, I mean, do whatever you got to do, man.
Maybe I gotta attend to some work emails, so I will I'll definitely mute. I might hop back in, might not, but if not, thanks for having me on, and
all right, Scotty, that was Scott, right, Jeff? And let me say bye to our number one fan over there.
Yeah, see you, Scott. Leading on with the corona, Will, one of the things that has been a godsend, we've talked about the movies coming out, but the NFL free agency has been insane and has created pod fodder for other pods. And now we get to talk about it. I've been excited. The past couple weeks have been wild, big names, big fantasy implications. But first, I think we just want to talk about some news. And you want to hit the logo news off the top, Will. We chatted last pod about the Rams logo. We thought it was kind of an internal ploy to not go with that logo, but let alone that got released was the actual logo. And, you know, I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
the logo itself of the Ram, I think the one that I saw is fine, but it's when they have that LAC.
Yeah.
Where it looks like an LA Chargers logo. It's very strange. Other than that, yeah, it just doesn't look very good. I think – I'm not sure if the Rams are, but I know just to kind of bounce off to the Chargers as well, I think they're both coming out with new uniforms.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the Rams are, but I know the Chargers are. The Chargers have been on social media kind of saying it's not just the logo. They're getting a different kind of uniform. I think they might even be transitioning back to that powder blue, incorporating that into their uniforms more. So they're very excited about their uniforms and what they're going to look like. But yes, the Rams logo, I hate it. The Chargers, the way you called it a Dodgers knockoff for the logo kind of makes sense. And you said it might drive some mistaken sales. I hate the A. I mean, absolutely hate. It just looks like someone took an A and then scribbled on the end of it to make it a lightning bolt.
Yeah. It's just kind of like it trailed off and it was like, Z-Z-Z-Z.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, it's like from Billy Madison when he's supposed to spell Rizzuto and he spells Raruto. Because he does an R with the little squiggly line. That's exactly what that A looks like in that. And yeah, you're talking about the disengaged fan bases. I mean, who knows this is going to happen? I mean, it's just we already know it's going to be a failure unless the Chargers do get Tua. I think if they get Tua somehow, I think that'll energize a fan base, kind of bring in a new era, a new you know, client of Charger fans, as opposed to the same old who've been watching Rivers and the Chargers be down by 8 with 30 seconds left and no timeouts, having to drive 80 yards.
Yeah. Well, I think we can say definitively that Tyrod is not going to fill the SoFi Stadium. So,
I mean, yeah, he doesn't bring a whole bunch of assignment, but who know who will fill that stadium? Playoff teams at some point, because there was two things that happened in this new CBA. One of them, very interesting, and I didn't really ever think about how much more I liked it until the more thought went into it. Seven teams starting like right away 7 teams in each conference are going to make the playoffs, which means a total of 14 out of 32 teams make the playoffs, which is still less than half, which is great because the NBA, the NHL, they let pretty much 60-65% of their league make the playoffs. So as long as the NFL can keep it below 50, I think we're at a good sweet spot there. So the best part about this, and you wrote it here too, is that there's only one team that gets a bye. That makes that number one seed so dang spicy. No one's going to get a two seed and be like, we're good. We'll just wait. No, they're all going to be gunning for that number one seed. Is that how you see it?
Oh, totally. I think, you know, those last games of the season, if a team's in solidly in third, like a number three seed and has a chance for a two, they play, but some don't. And I think it's just going to add value to more games, which they're going to expand in future seasons. But I love it. You know, it's crazy to think about all those Patriots teams who got second round byes and then ended up getting home field advantage, and that helped them out in their playoff pushes. So I love it. You get a special bonus, much like in fantasy, you finish first, you get that, you get the best seed. So now I love it. Only one team getting that bye.
And you kind of touched on it, and sure, maybe if someone's locked in, or you know, they're in the three seed, are they really gonna want to try to get the two seed? I think yes, because look at the team who is gonna be the seventh seed. It's gonna be like an 8-8 Raiders, you know, or a 9-7 Bills. Not to throw, you know, shade on the Bills, but that's the team you're gonna be playing if you get that two seed. It's not like you're gonna be playing a 10-6 division champion. You're going to be playing that team who's going to be squeaking in. So you're going to want that number two seed. I think these teams are going to be playing until, you know, the very, very end. And of course, there's going to be a team who's 7-8 who's going to have a chance to make the playoffs. So they're going to try. It's going to definitely make the last weeks of the season much, much more exciting. And even fantasy playoffs are going to be impacted because week 16 or week 15 are going to be those fantasy playoffs. And you might have the number one seed or number two seed players on your team, and they're still going to be playing. So I think this impacts a lot of aspects that maybe people didn't think about.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously didn't do it, but I wonder as they were looking at it, how, like if they went back and said, okay, if we only had one first round bye per conference, how many like better games would there have been, right? Mm-hmm. Was it like, before, you know, 10% of the games or 20% were pretty much throwaways because they're starting backups, and now we would have maybe only had one game that would have been like that. So I'm interested.
Think about that first weekend. Just think about that first weekend in playoffs. Ooh. Now. There's going to be six games.
Six games. Ooh.
Oh, I mean, just titillates the tongue. The other one that I don't like is the 17-game season. Titillate. Not a fan of the 17 game season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I like that they reduced the preseason game. I just don't really necessarily, and not even for the player safety aspect. I love more the Sessler take of it, where it's perfect if you're 8-8 because it's just the most harmonious indication that you are average, right? You are 50%. You are 517 games. You can never have that. So I like the reduction of the preseason, but 17 games, I think, I don't think it's going to be, well, at least it's here as long as this CBA is around. So we'll see.
Not anymore. I think the 8-8 thing is so funny because it's exactly what it is. The staple of mediocrity. Like, but now it's like you're gonna end a season 9-8, like, you know, or 8-9, like you mentioned. Or the one thing that I haven't really heard yet is how are they gonna figure out that extra game? And who's gonna be the deciding factor of, oh well, this year you get 9 home games, next year you only get 8.
Yeah.
Where is that gonna come in? Like how is a team like the Seahawks or Kansas City, the teams with notoriously great home field advantages, they get 9 one year? Like, how does that impact the standings or another team that maybe was behind them by one game in the playoffs, but they had one less home game? It's going to get very confusing. And I think Hansis even said this just means they're going to make an 18-game season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in 10 years. Like, oh, now it's 18. So you can get your 9-9 back.
It's going to be 18 games with everyone playing at least one international game.
Oh, wow. Well, that's when they travel to the Tottenham Jaguars.
the Hotspur Stadium in the Mexico City and probably China after all this comes down.
The Los Chargers. Jeff, let's move on to the 2020 free agent overreaction theater, because a million players have changed teams. Fantasy is going to be absolutely mind-boggling. There's one player I didn't even know changed teams that's on the running back list. I did not know Devonta Freeman had found a new home. So this is just going to be – everything's going crazy. There's, you know, cats loving dogs. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? There's three starting quarterbacks out there that don't have any jobs, let alone one of them or two of them don't even have a team. Let's just get right to it. Let's start with the quarterbacks, Jeff. Hit me with what you got.
Maybe I was a little presumptive, sorry, on the Devonta Freeman. I just read a couple of he could still be out there. Okay. I guess there were just a couple of Google mentions
whispers
that he signed with the Lions, but he's still a free agent by all accounts. So we'll hit the big one up top. Brady changing teams, going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's kind of interesting because there's a lot of hype now around the Buccaneers. I personally think, since we're in the overreaction theater, this is going to hurt Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I think they're going to be a much more efficient team. I think they've also added pieces on the defensive side. And without Jameis in the 30-30 club, their defense is going to be put in better situations. I think they're going to try and be a little bit more ball control. I mean, for as much as people say Bruce Arians is a bomb it down the field quarterback guy, we saw that Brady is still mentally there, but there are physical limitations. I mean, he's not going to be a bomb it down the field every guy. He's going to be a lot more conservative than Winston was. And so I think that's going to lead to a lot less contested catches for Evans in particular. Godwin, I think, has a much more mid-range route tree. And so I don't know. He could be the way to lean in this tandem, whereas Mike Evans has been the touchdown machine in previous years.
I mean, let's just talk with the elephant in the room here. He's got another white tight end. Cameron Brate. I mean, he's ready for him. He is ready to score touchdowns. Cameron Brate and Tom Brady, that's what Tom Brady wanted most when he was choosing between certain teams. Although I guess he could have had Hunter Henry if he went to the Chargers, but that doesn't matter. I'm actually excited for this. The whole uniform thing is going to be weird, seeing him in a different uniform. Our history of Brady is known on this podcast. I love Brady. Patriots, not so much. I'm rooting for Brady. I hope he doesn't end like Peyton Manning ended. I hope it's – Peyton Manning obviously had his amazing season and a half with the Broncos before it all went downhill. So I hope Brady has something like that where he just doesn't get hurt or it just ends really poorly. But I'm excited. I think in fantasy circles, I think Evans and Godwin are going to be overdrafted. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I think especially how Godwin finished last year, he's got to be in the high end second round. I haven't looked at ADPs way too early. These guys both have
second
season round picks, right? If they do get drafted, which I think they're probably more like wide receiver two guys, and they'll be like a Thielen Diggs combo. Where it just depends on the week, and both will have value.
Wow, so much for that Thielen Diggs. Rivers going to the Colts. This was something that was whispered about 3 months ago Dan Hansis just kind of threw out there as a whim. And what do you know? Goes to the Colts. Great O-line situation, receiver situation, weapons situation, kind of on the lower end of things. But they did a pretty decent job with Jacoby Brissett getting where they went. Rivers, 1 year. Do you think he has enough in the tank with this team? And does T.Y. Hilton have anything left? And are you excited about it?
I'm happy for Rivers. I think you would agree he's been much maligned by some Chargers fans, probably unnecessarily. I think we saw last year he, with the right weapons and now better protection, can still be an effective quarterback. He can still throw the deep ball, maybe with less accuracy than before. He's definitely got good accuracy in those underneath throws. I mean, I don't know if it was this past season or this season before, he had that 26, 27 passes in a row. So I think he's good. Will it be great for T.Y. Hilton? I don't know. Are they probably going to draft a wide receiver? They have to at least draft one wide receiver. They've been pretty quiet in free agency on the offensive side of the ball. But I think Rivers gives it a go, sees how they do. There's that, the Frank Reich connection. So happy for Rivers to be in a more functional organization.
Well, going from the Chargers to anyone is definitely more functional. I know Mowgli's having a couple digs out there, so we'll move right along. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, all unknown about where they're going to go, who they're going to play for. But yet, we have Marcus Mariota on a team. We have Kyle Allen getting traded to a team. And Teddy Bridgewater getting a huge contract. Very interesting in how those latter three players are kind of set in stone as to what they're going to be doing and who they're going to be playing for. But Cam Newton can't get a sniff. Jameis Winston either, as well as Andy Dalton. I mean, out of those three, if you had to somehow pick between Dalton, Winston, and Cam Newton to kind of be successful wherever they go, who would it be? And just which one would you be willing to kind of bet a season on? Ooh. Ooh, where's Jeffrey?
If I had to pick one, it would be Andy Dalton.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I think he's an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater. He's definitely better than Mariota. I mean, he is a starting level caliber for sure quarterback. Especially when you consider some of the, rookie guys or second year guys, third year guys even, who are starting in the league. He can compete with any of them. So I feel like he's going to get signed after, after the draft happens and it kind of settles down, because those other guys, Cam has obvious question marks, right? If he can return to his form, every team would love to have him. Like, why wouldn't the Chargers want him? He's an exponentially better Tyrod Taylor. Jameis Winston, he's a gunslinger, but he can obviously put up points for a team. Yeah. You're not going to pay him like he wants to get paid, which I think is why he hasn't been signed yet, because obviously he has a different view on his value. Yeah. So the thing that's amazing to me is that after the entire tsunami with the quarterbacks, every team you've seen a report, like from the Redskins, they say, oh, we're good with Dwayne Haskins. Oh, the Chargers say, oh, we're good with Tyrod Taylor. Everyone's just kind of laying in wait. The Dolphins are saying the same thing. They're waiting for the draft. The Bengals are waiting for the draft. So I think once the draft happens and then there's finally, yeah, everyone kind of has, okay, do we want to bring in one of these guys to compete with our rookie or compete with our second or third year guy? Okay, let's do that. Let's pull the trigger and spend a bit of money after everything is all said and done. But I mean, some of the, like Mariota, oh my goodness. I mean, he's always been a Gruden guy. So that one got me.
I think you're right. Wait until the draft. The one more thing about quarterbacks is this COVID-19 coronavirus epidemic going on, pandemic, is making it so that off-season activities aren't happening. And usually this is when people kind of wait for an injury. You wait for a position battle to kind of show its course. But none of that stuff's going on right now. So if you're a player saying, oh, I'm going to wait for a position to open up due to injury or struggling, that's not going to happen anytime soon until these players start playing. So we're just going to have to, we're really in a wait and see approach, especially when it comes to the draft, after the draft, if anything happens, if a draft even happens, if a season even happens. So that's for the quarterback situation. That's what those players are waiting for. Running backs. I mean, talk about a slow market and players changing teams. Two people out of the same draft year. Let's start with the one you have on the bottom though, because this was kind of a two person thing. It was a running back and a wide receiver. This came out of freaking nowhere. It was like a Tuesday at noon when this news broke. And the way it came across the wire was Texans acquired David Johnson. And everyone's like, okay, I can see it. What'd they send? Like a fifth round pick, whatever.
Yep.
And the bombshell, that came from Adam Schefter after. So these are two separate tweets. It was just, oh, the Texans are acquiring David Johnson. Bombshell, DeAndre Hopkins is part of this trade. And the world just kind of flips upside down and said, there's no freaking way this is even real. I remember saying it out loud at Shake Shack when I was working, saying, no way. And a guy, a guest on the other side of the counter is like, no, he's not part of that deal. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then, of course, Joe Schmo was wrong. What was your reaction to this, Jeff? And what are the Texans doing? Are you happy for David Johnson? DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald are two people who don't drop passes. Kyler Murray, does he go up for you? Give me all this, Jeff.
I mean, first of all, I think it needs to be said that with rare exceptions, your head coach, unless they have proven themselves, should never be your GM. Because honestly, Bill O'Brien should be fired. Because I don't care if you have personal squabbles with a player. If he's the best player in the league, you need to be that leader as the coach and find a way, if you can't do it, for the locker room to get this guy to do whatever it is that he's not doing. Because on the field, I mean, you would have never known. I mean, the guy was getting peppered. Maybe he wanted the ball more. I don't know what, you know, we don't know and we can't really speculate on what the feud was. It's just really hard to make a like brash decision to get David Johnson as your trade value for arguably, if not the best, the second or third best receiver in the entire league. Yes, you needed running back. So I guess let's hit it down quick. Is David Johnson, in my mind, an upgrade at running back for the Texans? Yes. Am I going to be drafting him very highly? No. I mean, that has got to be one of the largest question marks on draft boards next year. Where is he going to go? He's probably going to be overdrafted, but he has shown the potential to be a big play threat. I mean, staying with the Texans, who is their wide receiver one? Is the fifth now going to be a big play? If he can stay healthy, I guess he's shown the ability to put up points. I mean, how does this affect Deshaun Watson? I mean, we were talking, I think last pod, we loved him. We were just going to lick our lips if we can get him in the fourth or fifth round because we think he has the potential to be one of the top quarterbacks next year. But without DeAndre Hopkins, his kind of safety blanket, he has to go down. And now on the Cardinals side, I think this helps Kyler Murray. I think DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to be able to get the ball to him. And I really think it's going to help Fitzgerald to be a more consistent bi-week fill-in flex kind of guy because he will not be the focal point of the offense anymore. So I think it's great for the Cardinals. They've now kind of cleaned up that backfield situation. Kenyon Drake can now be their RB. You can get a little bit more certainty about drafting him in fantasy drafts next year. I think DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, I guess he has to take a little bit of a hit. And maybe there's like more of a conversation with kind of being wide receiver 4 or 3 versus 1 or 2. So I guess that's my take. You know, hopefully the volume's there with that Kingsbury offense keeps the number of plays high, and Hopkins will have to get his target share as he always has because he's a great player, one of the best in the league.
It's going to be very – this Cardinals offense going to be very interesting to see. Larry Fitzgerald, of course, in his 17th year, drafted the same year as Rivers and Eli Manning and Roethlisberger. It's going to be a great combo to watch. Kyler Murray, you were speaking earlier about Tom Brady throwing up balls to Mike Evans. I mean, Kyler Murray can just throw whatever he wants up when these two are running routes in that offense. By the way, breaking news, Ashley just asked Alexa to start Fortnite. So there you go. She is playing Fortnite in the other room while we are finishing up this pod. Let's get down to the other Fortnite. Yeah, I mean, there you go. And I looked at Devonta Freeman. They said, yeah, he has not signed with the team yet, but Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon have. Todd Gurley going to the Falcons and Melvin Gordon going to the Broncos. We didn't really get a chance to touch on Todd Gurley getting released. Okay, just to kind of recap this crazy couple weeks since we've been gone, the Texans, we just mentioned, traded for David Johnson. If they would have waited 3 days They could have waited for Todd Gurley to get released, gotten Melvin Gordon for free, had Melvin Gordon and DeAndre Hopkins. They could have gotten Devontae Freeman, not that Freeman is anywhere near the player that maybe they want. And David Johnson costs just as much money as DeAndre Hopkins. Yep. So this is just the kind of thing like you just said. If someone has a vendetta with a certain player, you can't let it get in the way. It's just going to make poor decisions. Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, anything with these players for you? I'm kind of upset about the Melvin Gordon thing, not because he's going to the Broncos, but because he might ruin Philip Lindsay's fantasy value.
Oh, he has to. I mean, it's kind of insane that he went to the Broncos where he's not even guaranteed to be it's the exact same situation. That's what I don't get.
Literally,
he did not go to a situation where he is the clear three down back. He has Austin Eckler essentially right behind him again in Philip Lindsay. I mean,
it's almost exactly the same. Undrafted free agent.
And you probably know this, Will. I have to imagine, I remember last year, the Chargers were offering him $10 million a year for a 2 or 3 year deal. Did he get that money with Denver, or did it end up being a worse deal? And so his holdout just looks absolutely foolish at this point.
I think he got $14 million guaranteed with the Broncos.
Okay.
On a 2 year deal. So no, he did not get his $10 million a year unless he gets his whole contract. So yes, he did end up losing money. He ended up costing the team a couple of games. If anyone remembers the game against the Titans last year, he fumbled at the goal line twice within three plays to end the game. Melvin Gordon, that is, that we're talking about. So he definitely cost himself. And Austin Eckler is making more money than him this year. And let's just flat out, he's getting more guaranteed and he's getting a better deal to be at least in a 50-50 with maybe Justin Jackson or whoever the Chargers are going to have. Or at least be a main focal point. So Melvin Gordon, he also said he wants to do it for revenge, which was funny that another reference to around the NFL pod. You don't need to sign with a team in your division to get revenge. Everyone has, Pro Football Focus or All 22 or every game on TV. They can see if you're getting revenge or not.
Yeah. I can't say it's a good place to go and get revenge. I mean, if you're on the Chiefs, then that would be a good place to get revenge because it's like, I'm on a better team.
Yeah.
We're probably going to beat you at least once, and we're probably making a playoff run. I mean, go to Denver. It's going to be worse for him. He's going to be taking so much punishment. It's going to be going up into the line.
Yeah, who's your quarterback?
Drew Locke. I mean, that's when we were talking about the quarterbacks. Like, get Dalton in there. He can definitely beat out Drew Locke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dalton on the Denver Broncos. Come back to me. Todd Gurley
orange jersey? Oh, my word.
I mean, that makes total sense. How do you feel about Gurley going to the Falcons?
I just thought it was an interesting turn of events in that they just cut him and they just ate the money. Yep. And then, I mean, the landing spot is fine. I mean, you like the offense. You think they're going to move the ball. You like Matt Ryan. You have to like him a little bit more than Goff, I think. It's another one of those things where I was saying last year, if he can get to 80% of where he was and maybe get some of those catches back, which he definitely didn't get last year, then, he can be a high-end running back too, depending on how this running back market shakes out. But the landing spot for me is fine, much better than Melvin Gordon.
Look, he went to a team that needs a bell cow, a guy who can carry the load. And if not, they'll get someone else to help with Gurley's arthritis if he needs to.
Yep.
Just keep moving.
No, it'd be interesting to see where Devonta Freeman goes. I hope that Lions thing does not turn out. I mean, who knows where he'll end up, but I know we're not going to get it. He's not going to be in a good situation. It's going to be a three-headed monster. He'll probably get on the Eagles or something like that.
So. Oh, give him all the running backs. Let's move to wide receivers. This is a good one because we talked about the DeAndre Hopkins trade and what that got the Texans. At the end of the day, the Texans got a second-round pick out of it, which is not great. The Stephon Diggs trade happens, and you see what the Bills had to pay to get Stephon Diggs. And you would think DeAndre Hopkins would get the very similar haul. And it was, it was like a first round pick, a third round pick, and a, or a first and a fourth and a sixth. It was a combination of about three picks that the Bills had to give up to get Stephon Diggs, who we can all agree is not as dominant as DeAndre Hopkins. He can be. He can be just as talented, if not more exciting, to be honest. Stephon Diggs can really take over a game if he has to. And he goes to a team in the Bills who I think captured the hearts of many fans last year. We were all rooting for them in that game against the Texans. The Bills have Josh Allen. They have John Brown. Sorry, I was totally breaking on his name. John Brown, Cole Beasley, and now Stephon Diggs. I think that's a really good receiving core. What do you think about this landing spot? Can Josh Allen overthrow Stephon Diggs?
Well, we all know he can overthrow Stephon Diggs. It's a matter of if he can get it to him a couple of times. You know, I guess from a hypothetically a player situation, it's probably better. I think it's a good balance for Diggs and John Brown. It's going to be a frustrating fantasy situation. I can already imagine, already see it happening. I think we both agree we love Diggs as a player. And Josh Allen has fantasy value because of that running ability. It's just, you know, we're going to say it. Can he take that next step as a thrower? I wonder, you know, I feel like Diggs got frustrated being kind of the 1B to Thielen at times. And I have to imagine, as is his style, there's going to be games where John Brown blows up and he has a 2-catch game, and it's not going to be great. But the good thing with Josh Allen and having two very good receivers who can both take the top off defenses, if there's one thing, you know, with Josh Allen, he can make a fantasy day in one play. So
I think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on the Stephon Diggs thing. I think he left because they just weren't exciting. If that makes sense. Kirk Cousins didn't really do his best, especially when it was just Diggs. When Thielen was out, it was such a dink and dunk offense that Cousins would not take any shots. I think if Diggs goes to this Bills team and they win a game, or, you know, they lose a game 30-27, and maybe Diggs has 3 catches for 40 yards, but John Brown has 7 catches for 180 yards, and they're really taking shots deep in the window or whatever kind of weather it is, and there are balls being thrown to him and he just can't get them in, or maybe it gets frustrating, but I don't think he'll get into the same mindset where he's like, I got to get out of here. I think he will be more motivated with a team that wants to take shots and kind of be that team that everyone wants to watch on television. I did not want to watch the Vikings play. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook, that should be must-watch TV. But it just wasn't, I don't know, it just wasn't exciting to me.
Yeah, I feel like in the beginning of the season they were, when Dalvin Cook was kind of just going insane, and yeah, Thielen was healthy. Yeah. Yeah, towards the end of the season, everything kind of slowed down running into their playoff run. A couple quick hitters, though, Will. Manuel Sanders to the Saints, Robbie Anderson to the Panthers. The rich get richer for the Saints, and a real head scratcher for me with the Panthers and Robbie Anderson. I guess they needed that speed threat. What do you think about these two acquisitions?
I think Sanders is great for the Saints. Michael Thomas has been the lone guy for a while. I mean, what, they had Willie Snead like 3 years ago. Remember that guy? So Emmanuel Sanders, that Drew Brees, that savvy veteran connection, That should be great for the Saints. I've always liked Emmanuel Sanders. Hopefully he can stay healthy and help that team kind of spread the ball around. Robbie Anderson, the reason why it's a head-scratcher is not because of the it is because of the speed. It's because all their receivers are speedy. Yeah. I mean, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, that bird guy, and now Robbie Anderson. I guess they're just trying to make Teddy Bridgewater have to throw it more than 5 yards. I guess what this is kind of saying, because he never does. Having all these guys on the team might make them a little more aggressive, and Christian McCaffrey's going to be the guy who takes those four-yard checkdowns. Will Bridgewater try to stretch the field? Maybe, but this just gives them another option for that to be the case. So I like it. I mean, more exciting players on teams are the better. I don't want to see Robbie Anderson die on the Jets.
No, I feel you there. I just think it muddies the waters a little bit for fantasy purposes, because I feel like out of last year, we knew that DJ Moore was kind of the number one-ish, and then Curtis Samuel was the number two-ish. Like, is Robbie Anderson even draftable? Is he a flyer? Like, how does he impact those other two guys? I mean,
you know what this is? This is the same thing with the Diggs and the John Brown situation. These are DraftKings guys.
Oh yeah.
These are daily fantasy guys. These are when you see Stephon Diggs sitting there at 5,100 after 2 weeks of getting three catches, and you're like, just lather me up and bye. Because you're just waiting for those guys to drop. You'll take Robbie Anderson when he's 4,400 one week. You know, Curtis Samuel will be 4,800. DJ Moore will be 6,000. They'll just keep alternating because all these players are going to be, you know, changing volume. So that's all these are. These are just DraftKings guys. That's they are. Daily fantasy all day, every day.
I was just on that note, speaking of the Panthers, I was just like, how expensive is Christian McCaffrey going to be week one?
Oh, well, that's been a whole nother. That's a whole nother. It'll be 12,000 week one, especially after probably watching preseason. If there is a week one, by the way, you don't know. Quick hitters, some more quick hitters, tight ends.
Oh my God.
Austin Hooper, the highest paid tight end.
Don't undersell it. The biggest news of the offseason coming up.
highest paid tight end in the NFL. Browns making moves. Eric Ebron going to the Steelers. Funny stat I saw. This is the third different tight end the Steelers have paid in free agency in the last 3 years. They're just trying to replace Heath Miller. No, and by the way, the biggest news of the offseason, it was two lines down. Jason Witten still in the league. Yeah. Uniting.
Not with the Cowboys.
With his former ESPN Monday Night Football analyst, John Gruden. Gonna go 4 yards at it, 4 yard button hooks at a time to the end zone. And Jimmy Graham going to the Bears, who have 13 tight ends on their roster. Trey Burton, I think, is one of them still, but not sure. I mean, tight end landscape, not huge. Any of these mean anything to you? Please don't say Jason Witten.
No, I'm just so confused.
Nope.
They paid him $3 million guaranteed. Like, what? I thought he just got brought back because he was a Cowboy guy, and they have Darren Waller. What do they need Jason Witten for?
Yeah.
He wasn't even that great of a blocker last year. It's like, come on. The guy can barely – I mean, love Jason Witten. He's a legend, but just enjoy retirement, Jason. And the Jimmy
Graham, he's a legend about it somehow growing hair. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I mean, he's on the Hims unofficial sponsor of the pod. Yeah.
Wow, these shots fired, dude.
It was not necessarily directed at you. I mean, come on.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't at all.
Pre-ball, dude.
The biggest one I want to talk about is Austin Hooper. Is he going to be like he was this past year or every previous year where he has 2-3 big games, people pick him up, they start him, and he gets 3 points for them every other week? Or is he going to be like last year where, you know, he was a little bit more consistent?
I like it. I think it's going to be good. It kind of ties into their offensive line the Browns have kind of done. They're kind of retooling the anchor positions of their offense. And, you know, they did the Odell Beckham. They did the Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt. Now they're going for the anchors. Austin Hooper, Jack Conklin, they have another guard or center they signed. I don't know who that is. And they're going to just try to draft a left tackle probably. And if they can get that going, Austin Hooper, he can be that intermediate guy. And yeah, maybe not fantasy-wise. Will he be fantasy relevant? I don't know. And Njoku never was. But as a whole, I think this is a good improvement to the Browns. Now, I mean, paying as much as they did, I think – maybe he just kind of drove the price on himself up because he was the only real tight end out there. But I like it for the Browns. I like what they've been doing. Kind of keeping low key this time, doing the exact opposite as last offseason. So hopefully I'm rooting for the Browns too. They were not exciting last year when they really, really should have been the most exciting team in the NFL.
Yes, sir. I want to give a shout out. We got to give a shout out. To the Chargers secondary. If nothing else, this will be absolute spice. Chris Harris.
Shout out to the Chargers.
Hayward, Desmond King, Derwin James. Oof.
Finally spending money when Rivers is gone. Shout out to them.
Exactly.
It's good on them. Hey, look, we're going to get two new O-linemen.
So, yeah.
And Brian Bulaga, Trey Turner. Yeah, we're going to get some O-line. now that Rivers is gone. Good on you. But that, yeah, that defensive backfield, I mean, you can even say three almost shut down corners. And then you got Derwin James is going to be healthy and maybe some sort of safety of Nasir Adderley or whoever else. By the way, breaking news, the U.S. now has more confirmed coronavirus cases than any other country.
Ooh, big time.
Curse of the pod lives on. Excited for this Chargers season. By the way, didn't really ask me who I want. I want Tua or I want Cam Newton. That's who I want as a Chargers fan to open up SoFi Stadium. If there is even is a season, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll remain locked down. We'll remain socially distant, especially from people like Scotty. But I think this was great. I mean, there was a lot to get to. I think we hit all of it. Video games, football.
We didn't even get the TV or the March Madness. We didn't get the TV or March Madness. By the way, come back to us, March Madness. Everyone's doing their own damn March Madness tourney. We started this at the end of February, so just get after us.
Seriously, come at us.
Yep.
What a pod, right, Scott?
I'm just out here saving marriages on Rocket League, and Jeff's going to play me like that. It's pretty cool, dude.
Wait. What?
Just out here just letting Jeff – but Jeff, the more Rocket League I play with Shay, the more Rocket League you get to play.
Oh, I know. I thanked you for that during the segment.
Yes, and then you just threw shots at me, then.
What were the shots?
Well, let's hope this crystal clear pod comes out the way it's supposed to. I already, you know, we'll see what happens. It probably won't come out till tomorrow because it has to render and do all this stuff online on this. But if this works and comes out as good as it sounds, then I think we may have found the future in our pod. Thanks, Scott, for joining us the whole time, even though you kept cutting out. I'm not sure why. Not sure if it was your internet or whatever. Maybe you should get that looked at. Jeff, you sounded perfect the entire time. Cheers to both of you for making this happen, and we'll see you on the sticks. Peace.
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 All right, boys.
Sweet. Hopefully this works.
Yes, sir. All right,
Jeff, you got 6 minutes to your heart out, dude. Cool. Hey, did you connect? So you're in my podcast now. So how are things at the homestead? You know, how are things with little baby Kellen? How's things being cooped up with the Korg all day? What's going on with that?